Hi, my name is Tahir Haji and I love technology. On this podcast, I will be reviewing the latest products from companies such as Apple, Microsoft, and many more every week. Join me on this journey in this tech life. Hey, what's up guys? I'm your host, Tahir Haji, and welcome to episode 8 of This Tech Life. Thank you so much for joining us. This last Monday, Apple held their annual developers conference known as WWDC, Worldwide Developers Conference. At this event, they usually announce the next round of software updates to their suite of operating systems such as iOS and macOS, sometimes also announcing new hardware coming to their lineups. Technology at this point has become so advanced for the most part that these updates are no longer that large anymore. I mean, there's only so much that they can do to make the user experience better. However, every year we get insane rumors before the event about some drastic change coming to one of their devices, and everyone gets excited only to be eventually disappointed and bash Apple. However, this year, for the most part, those rumors did come true. Not only that, but they announced things that people had been desperately asking for years now. Let's get started. Alright, so going in the order that Apple announced things, let's start with the iPhone's operating system, iOS. The biggest change that is coming to the iPhone is the all-new lock screen. Ever since the iPhone was originally created in 2007, the lock screen has stayed pretty much the same, with the only thing really changing was how to open the phone. First by sliding across to put in the password, then pressing the home button for Touch ID, and now swiping up to access Face ID. But now, the lock screen has become completely customizable. Not only can you change the different fonts of how the time is displayed, but Apple has now added widgets as well. This allows you to be able to access your most favorite and useful apps without even opening your phone, and makes the entire OS just a lot more user-friendly. With being able to customize the colors, widgets, and different styles of the lock screen, you now have thousands of different possibilities of how you style the first thing you see on your phone. Android has been doing this for many years now, and I'm really happy that it's finally coming to iPhone. To me, it really felt like they were trying to replicate the same feel of the Apple Watch face, which also has the ability to display widgets and other customizations. In fact, many of the icons that they showed at the event were the exact same ones that are also available on the watch. Along with increased customization, all notifications will now appear at the bottom of the lock screen instead of right below the time. Apple said that they did this so that users could fully enjoy their wallpaper and not have it constantly covered by notifications. Another thing that Apple has added to the lock screen is a type of live tracking feature. If you are following something that is currently happening live, such as an Uber Eats order or the score of a baseball game, it will now appear at the bottom of your lock screen as well, so you do not have to constantly be opening your phone and be able to see all of the necessary data right there. You are also now able to change your lock screen along with your focus mode. This is also similar to the watch, how you could quickly change the watch face by swiping left or right, but now it will be able to activate different focus modes of your choosing. Next up, they announced updates to the Messages app. You will now be able to edit and delete messages that you have already sent. We've all had those super silly mistakes of accidentally texting the wrong person or saying the wrong thing. Well now, for a limited time after the text is sent, you will be able to either edit or delete it, with it notifying the person on the other end that you have done so. You can also now set messages as unread, so you can come back to them later. Apple has also drastically updated dictation. Now, you are able to use your voice and type interchangeably, instead of your keyboard disappearing every time you try to use your voice. Users can now even let the phone handle punctuation. Depending on the tone of your voice, the phone will be able to add periods or question marks at the end of your sentences automatically, but we'll have to see how well that truly works in the real world. You can use the same approach for also now including emojis by just saying, for example, mind blown emoji, and have that emoji entered into your message. And what's even better is that all of these features are handled on the iPhone instead of a remote server, so your privacy is maintained. Next up, they announced that live text is coming to videos. This feature, previously only for photos, allowed users to be able to select text in an image and copy it amongst other things. I can see this being used so often, especially during lectures. If the teacher were to write something on the board, you would now be able to copy it instead of having to write everything out. They also announced welcome changes to Photos with iCloud Photo Library, which allows the whole family to collaborate and share photos amongst each other. While taking the picture with your camera, you could switch the photo library then and there so you don't have to worry about manually moving the photos to that album later. This is really great for families going on vacations and other things. Finally, they announced new changes coming to CarPlay, which we will eventually start to see in cars in 2023. The system is now compatible with multiple screens inside your car, and it will be able to automatically adapt to that of your car. It will be able to show you things like your speed, RPM, fuel levels, and several other things, while also allowing you to control the radio and change the temperature of the car. Basically getting rid of the manufacturing operating systems entirely. This is going to be really interesting once it's released. We could always use more distractions while driving, right? Finally, iOS 16 will be released in the fall on the iPhone 8 and higher. Next up, Apple announced new updates coming to watchOS. Starting off, all watches will be getting four new watch faces, which are always welcome, and it will also now have an improved low power mode. This year's updates really focused on the health of the user. Starting with the fitness and workout apps, Apple has brought new metrics and improved training experiences to the watch. For example, for running workouts, it will now be able to give you a more advanced look of how you are doing, and will be able to keep better track of your progress by showing you your past and best runs, what your heart rate zone is, and the amount of power you are outputting, with the ability to customize your workouts as well. They are also including support for multi-sport for triathletes, as now it will be able to automatically transition between swimming, biking, and running. Apart from that, your watch will also now be able to help you with your medications. By simply scanning your bottle, you will be able to add your medication to the app on the watch, and it will be able to help you discreetly keep track of them and remind you when to take them. It will also be able to tell you what things you should avoid, such as maybe avoid drinking alcohol while taking certain pills. Sleep also got a huge update, as now it will be able to track your sleep stages to see how much time you spent in each stage during the night, and how many times you might have woke up. In the updated health app on your iPhone, you will then be able to see and track your sleep over time and compare metrics such as heart and respiratory rates. Apple has now also minimized notifications, appearing now at the top of the screen instead of completely covering it, and apps running in the background will now be prioritized over other apps in the dock to allow you to easily return to them, with improvements to the calendar app and new language support. WatchOS 9 will be released in the fall on Series 4 and higher. Next, Apple switched gears to the Mac. Once again, their crack marketing team traveled down the California coast, this time reaching Ventura, to finally announce macOS 13 Ventura. The biggest change that the Mac is getting this year is a new display manager known as Stage Manager. You'll basically have to flick a toggle in the control center to activate it, and then you will be able to group windows of apps together that you use. It will basically be able to organize all of the open windows on your Mac a lot more efficiently and help you find the one you are looking for more quickly. Until now, if you had several windows open at the same time, you had to use Mission Control, and then find the one that you needed. But that didn't organize them at all, just showed you all of them. That usually turned into just finding the window you want for a good 30 seconds, and accidentally clicking on two before you found the right one. Now enter Stage Manager, which basically adds the organizing functionality that Mission Control was always missing. Basically, windows are sorted by their individual apps as little thumbnails on the left side of the screen. It's very similar to how the dock looks when you minimize an app. Similarly, when you click on the thumbnail, the window opens on the screen. However, the cool part about this is that you can create a group of windows and store them together. Like for example, as I was writing the script for this episode, I was using Chrome, my notes app, and listening to music. In Ventura, I could easily just group these three apps together, and then when I press the thumbnail, all three would appear on my screen at once, while any other app is then hidden. I thought that this was a really neat feature, but the only big problem that I thought was that while Stage Manager is on, anything on your desktop is automatically hidden. That means that if Stage Manager was on, but you did not have any apps open, nothing would be visible to you on the desktop. There's a few weird things, but I'm sure they'll be smoothed out before the full release. Next up, Spotlight was completely changed again. For those of you who don't know, Spotlight is the name of the search system on Apple's devices. You use it whenever you swipe down from your home screen to search for an app on your phone. However, in Ventura, Spotlight will be able to do a lot more than just open apps. It'll be able to perform tasks such as turning on timers, finding images in your photo library, or even search for text inside images using live text. Mail was also updated, which gave it similar changes to what the Messages app received. You now have the ability to cancel emails after sending them. You can search for emails through links or words in the text, and additional features such as follow-ups, schedules, and email reminders. It's a small update, but it is truly one of the most important apps on our devices, and I think the ability to cancel emails is great, because we've all made silly mistakes while trying to write professional emails, and now we have the chance to not make a fool of ourselves. Safari also got a neat update, centered once again around privacy. Apple introduced Access Keys, which is basically a way to access websites without the need for a password, simply using Face ID or Touch ID, which makes sure that there are no loopholes for hackers. Next, Apple also announced some new features for creating games for the Mac. As we all know, Apple Silicon has significantly expanded the power the Macs have, and Apple is finally taking advantage of it by offering better quality and unique gaming experiences for users. Using a new version of Metal 3, developers now have the opportunity to reach an impressive level of quality in video games that offer more realism and more detailed textures. Finally, the last bit of Ventura was an addition to Continuity. For those of you who don't know, once you are inside the Apple ecosystem, you know, maybe an iPhone and a Mac, your life gets a lot easier. For example, if I was looking at a website on my phone and I opened my computer, I would have the ability to press an app icon in the dock that would automatically take me to that website on my computer. Apple was able to expand that by now allowing you to transition from device to device on FaceTime. It really made me think of how AirPods automatically connect to all of your devices, and you can switch amongst them as well. Another cool feature that Apple has now included is that you can use your phone's camera as a webcam for your Mac. Using an accessory made by third parties, you can connect your phone to the top of your computer's screen. The Mac will recognize this and automatically switch to your phone's camera. This is great because the quality of Mac webcams has never been great. Only recently did we start to get 1080p webcams. But the video quality of the iPhone is exceptional and will be incredible to use on virtual meetings and other things. Another cool feature that honestly completely blew me away is that using your iPhone, you will be able to have a top-down view of your table as well. Using the wide lens located on your iPhone, the camera basically sees enough of your desk to be able to alter the image slightly to show you a top-down version of whatever you are doing. During the presentation, it looked absolutely seamless, and it could honestly revolutionize how people like teachers show things to other people. But I don't know how well that it would work. The wide lens is indeed pretty wide, but it would have to have so much image alteration to be able to give a top-down view that I highly doubt that it could give you such a seamless view as we saw. After announcing macOS Ventura, Apple was not done with the Mac. They had something left in store. Something left in the Apple Store. But before we talk about that, let's take a short break. I'm going to go get some ice cream. We'll be right back. Alright, so next up, Apple announced something big. Exactly 575 days after first announcing the M1 chip and starting the transition of the Mac line away from Intel and onto their own silicon, Apple announced the M2, a chip with breakthrough performance that furthers the capabilities of M1. The M2 was built using second-generation 5-nanometer technology and has an 18% faster CPU, 35% faster GPU, and a 40% faster neural engine than the M1. It's also able to deliver 50% more memory bandwidth and is now able to offer up to 24 gigs of unified memory as well. This was the first time that Apple was able to compare two of their chips together, and it's honestly insane to think how much more powerful M2 is compared to the M1, which was already well way ahead than the competition that it has in its class. It's also crazy to think that the entire lineup is still not even completely operated by Apple Silicon. You have to remember that the Mac Pro is still powered by an Intel chip, but we are already on the second generation of Apple's chips. Going into this event, I was expecting the most powerful chip that Apple has created, the likes of an M1 Ultra Pro Max Plus, which is four M1 Ultra chips glued together, I don't know, for the Mac Pro, but I never thought we would so quickly move on to the second generation. But you know what happens right after they announce a new chip? They need something that they can put the new chip in. When the M1 was announced back in November of 2020, they had the new MacBook Airs and Pros ready to go. And this time, they did the exact same thing again. Right after announcing M2, Apple released the new MacBook Air. It has a completely new design, going away from the wedge design that it's had since its inception, and instead having a unibody similar to that on the Pros. Following the design of the 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pros, the Air now also has slimmer bezels and a beautiful notch at the top of the display to house the 1080p webcam. The new Air also comes with MagSafe, Apple just further admitting that going away from that was a huge mistake, and this is their way of asking for forgiveness. And forgive we shall, because they still kept two Thunderbolt ports. I was worried that they would only give one now due to MagSafe, but no, they're not being dumb anymore. Even with the unibody design, the computer is unbelievably thin at just 0.44 inches thick and 2.7 pounds heavy. It really is air. And finally, it comes in four beautiful colors: midnight, silver, space gray, and starlight. I really love the midnight because it's an extremely dark blue, so in dark lighting conditions, it genuinely looks matte black, and I absolutely love it. The M2 chip allows it to be 1.4 times faster than the last Air with M1, and a whopping 15 times faster than the last Air with Intel chips, although that laptop did completely suck, and it still offers 18 hours of battery life, which is genuinely incredible for such a small device. Following the likes of the new MacBook Pros, the new notch display is also Liquid Retina, giving it 500 nits of brightness opposed to the 400 from before. The laptop also has a 3-mic array for you to come through loud and clear on calls, and a 4-speaker sound system with spatial audio to fully immerse you in movies and music. The keyboard has also been copied from the new Pros, giving you a full height function row and a nicer Touch ID key. The new Air is such an incredible device, and especially with its inheritance of amazing qualities from its older 14 and 16-inch brothers, it really does give you an insanely powerful machine. And to think that this is the entry computer in Apple's lineup, geared towards students and light browser browsing, does put a smile on my face. Starting at $1,199, the price has gone up from the previous model. However, you can still buy the old model with M1 for $999, but at the point you might as well just get the new computer. In addition to announcing the Air, Apple also announced a new 13-inch MacBook Pro. Now you have to remember that last year we also had to talk about the new MacBook Pros, but those were the 14 and 16-inch models with the M1 Pro and M1 Max chips, not the 13-inch with just the M1. However, the 13-inch was also updated to now have M2, but we did not receive any other changes to the design or display like the Air. In fact, it stayed exactly the same, still not having MagSafe, still not having a good webcam or a function row. Yes, it still remains the only computer now in the Mac lineup with the stupid touch bar. The new 13-inch Pro starts at $1,299, same as the previous model, and to be honest, I only see it having two functions. To make people buy the new Air instead, or make people spend more money and buy the 14-inch Pro instead. Seriously, there is no reason that anyone should buy this MacBook. It has an outdated design, and considering the other options, it is no longer worth it. Instead, you could get an Air with the same chip and much, much better display and ports, basically everything, and $100 cheaper. Or if you really do need a fan, which, by the way, is the only performance difference between the 13 Pro and the Air, you can spend another $1,000 and upgrade to the 14-inch Pro, which is a lot more powerful and gives you more bang for your buck. Now, let's get to the last thing that Apple announced in their event, the iPad, specifically iPad OS 16. Leading up to the event, there were big rumors for this year's iPad announcements. As you all know from my previous episodes, the iPads have been receiving insanely powerful internals with extremely poor software that kept limiting it to not being able to do much. This ranged from not having true external display support to each app only being able to use 5 GB of RAM, even if the iPad actually had 16. Thankfully, all of that has changed, but not in the way that most people are expecting. Starting off slow, Apple announced a weather app for the iPad. I know what you're thinking. The iPad, this insanely powerful and popular tablet, didn't have a weather app. Well, you're right. When someone asked Craig Federighi, vice president of Apple, a few years ago why it didn't, he had to say that they hadn't gotten it right yet. Which made perfect sense. I mean, they only had what, like 12 years to make a simple weather app, right? I mean, this is supposed to take at least a few centuries to perfect. All jokes aside, weather is now on the iPad, and it shows basically the exact same information that the app on the iPhone shows. Why they couldn't get it right for 12 years and then just copied it over, I don't know. I also don't know why they can't do that for the calculator. Yeah, that's right. The iPad doesn't have a native calculator app either. The next features they announced for the iPad were also shared with the other systems. For example, using Metal 3, iPad will also be getting great improvements to playing games, starting with a new refreshed Game Center that allows you to better share your gameplay. Thanks to SharePlay, you can now game with other people at the same time, as well as collaborate with them on other things as well, through now being able to access SharePlay through messages instead of just FaceTime. At this point, the rumors were starting to hurt. We had been promised all of these crazy things about how the software was finally going to catch up. And until then, we had gotten a weather app and the same stuff that was also on the iPhone. I remember sitting there, almost half asleep, thinking, why even make a native iPad operating system if this is what you're going to give us? But then, things got real, real quick. Apple then announced that Stage Manager, the window organizer on the Mac, was coming to the iPad. This allowed a new way on the iPad of using apps through windows that are adapted to the touchscreen of the iPad. This basically means that apps will no longer be forced to be in full screen. Since using Stage Manager, you can have up to 4 apps open at the same time. You can now resize them however you want, just like you can on actual computers. Just this much was enough for me. Resizable windows had been something people had been asking for all the way back to 2010, when the iPad was first introduced. But they were just starting. Next, they announced that while Stage Manager was turned on, the iPad would also get full external display support, with the ability to have 4 different windows displayed on the monitor as well. This got me out of my seat. We had been asking for monitor support ever since they added USB-C to the iPad Pros back in 2018, and we were actually getting it. But wait, there was more. iPadOS 16 was getting rid of the 5GB RAM limit on each app. That made me go crazy. To finally be able to use all of the RAM on the device to its fullest potential was so refreshing. I know it sounds ridiculous, but to me, it was ridiculous for the software to always be so lacking that at times it was useless to even get an iPad Pro because you wouldn't be able to fully use it. This time, the software had actually caught up to the hardware. As all of this announced, I was so, so happy. But then, unfortunately, my heart immediately sank. Stage Manager, which gave you the ability to use resizable windows and an external display, was only coming to M1 iPads, which meant that my A14 iPad Air would not be receiving it. I would still get iPadOS 16 and a revolutionary weather app. I'm doing sarcastic air quotes, by the way. But I would not receive Stage Manager. It was a heavy thing to understand at first. I mean, my iPad is fully capable of doing this, but then it kind of made sense after a while. For other iPads, such as the iPad Mini, which has the A15, Stage Manager isn't really feasible. Having 4 windows open at the same time on a screen that small doesn't really make sense. But yeah, that hurt. Apart from Stage Manager, iPadOS 16 kind of sucks. Not really adding any new features except the ones shared by all Apple devices. But for anyone with an M1 iPad, they are going to have the time of their lives, as Apple comes one step closer to making the iPad truly a laptop replacement and bridges the gap between iPad and Mac a little closer. Well, that's it, folks. Thanks for listening to This Tech Life, and make sure to listen to the other episodes that we have done as well. This event was absolutely insane, and the things that Apple announced were truly incredible. We've never had this level of customizability on our phones or our laptops, and Apple making their own devices more powerful through software alone does make me very happy. In addition to new hardware that we got with the M2 and the new MacBook Air. Remember to keep your notifications up so you know when I upload another episode. I hope that all of you are safe and in good health, and I'll see y'all next time. Peace.